Hey everyone, this is Nina Amir, the Inspiration to Creation Coach and your author coach for our Author of Change Transformational Coaching Program. This is our first Module 2 coaching session. Is that right? Or is it? No, I'm confused. In any case, it's our coaching session. Doesn't matter what we're talking about, Module 1, Module 2. The time is yours to ask me whatever you need to ask me related to the homework, related to the webinars, or related to anything to do with writing and publishing or your book project. So, as I said, the time is yours, and I'm just happy to be here and support you and answer your questions. So hopefully you brought some questions with you. So I'm going to turn it over to whoever would like to go first. Please just say your name so that I know who I'm speaking to and everybody else knows who you are, and then ask your question, and I will support you in whatever way I can. And welcome. Welcome, welcome. So who's got something for me?
My name is Ella Hope. I do.
Okay, Ella.
I have a question which I think everyone will appreciate regarding word count. What is the standard word count for a blog? And then two, what is a standard word count for your sample chapter in your book proposal? And then what is the word count, the standard one, acceptable for the entire book proposal? So that was three all on word count.
Okay, so it was
the sample chapter. Blog. Yes.
The sample chapter, the book itself, and what was the other one?
Oh, the first one was the blog. Sorry.
Okay, so like a blog post.
Okay. Yes, yes.
Got it. Okay. Easy and good question. Easy for me to answer and good question. So
good.
Your blog posts should be anywhere from no less than 300 words. So there's this old thing, Google has all its little algorithms, and there was a time when we were told that you had to have 200 words for Google to index or catalog your blog post, which means it searches it for keywords so that people know what you write. Yeah, when they're searching for something, Google brings your site up. Then it switched to 300 words. These days, nobody seems to talk about it anymore. If you ask what's the minimum word count, I'm not getting answers. On the other hand, I use a program called SEO by Yoast. It's a plugin, and you can get it for free, and you add it to your website, and it gives you information about how well you're doing when you're doing the search engine optimization on your blog posts. It's very simple, really, to do. In any case, they will tell you, if you have less than 300 words, they'll say this is not the recommended length for a blog post. You don't have at least 300 words. So minimum 300 words. Then I usually don't go much over 1,200 words. I tend to want to write a post that's closer to 500, 750 words. And the reason for that is because I don't want to spend all my time blogging. And so I want to write shorter. And, of course, I used to write more frequently. So if you're just starting to blog, then writing twice a week or three times a week and writing 500 words is better than writing one 1,500-word post because there's more content for Google to catalog, which means if you are using the same keywords over and over again, you're going to rise up in the search engine results pages faster, because there's more content for Google to catalog. So, but on the other hand, and I'm of the mind that people don't have a lot of time to read, and so therefore the shorter blog post is going to be better. But there are some studies that show that longer posts, the posts that are over 1,000 words, so somewhere in the 1,000 to 2,000 word length, that they get more engagement. So that means that they're getting shared more. Not necessarily commented on more, although in some cases, yes. I actually think that being commented on has more to do with how many readers you have per day at your blog. But so there is this idea that if you write longer posts, they'll get shared more. So that increases your reach. But I don't find that to be necessarily true with my site. So I just stick, as I said, I want to write consistently and often. This is the first year that I'm only writing once a week on my three blogs, but that's still three blog posts. So if you had three blog posts on one website, one blog, you know, sticking to 500 words would probably be a good rule of thumb for you. So no less than 300. I try not to get up to the 1,000-word range just for, you know, my own productivity. But you could do 1,500 words if you wanted to. If you were doing once a week, I'd probably go longer. So that would be that. Okay, that's blog posts. Sample chapters. The thing with a nonfiction book is when you do a book proposal, you have your sample chapters. They don't care so much about word count as much as pages. So you want to include preferably two chapters, but you're looking for about 25 to 30 pages. Okay, so that's double-spaced, Times Roman, 12-point, double-spaced, and you're looking for 25 to 30 pages. Okay, so that's the sample chapter. And as for a book, to go the traditional publishing route, you're going to have to write a minimum of 50,000 words for a nonfiction book. Okay, and the reason for that is because they don't want to invest in something shorter, and they want to make sure it takes up enough space on the bookshelf that it can be found. And, you know, because if it's too thin, you can't actually see it on the bookshelf very well. And if you're going to self-publish, if you're going to do a print book, I'd probably go with the same basic rule of thumb, 50,000 words. Ebooks, they could be 3,000 words, 4,000 words, doesn't matter. So, and of course, your 50,000-word traditionally published book or even self-published book, you can turn that into an ebook and it'll be 50,000 words. So, you know, the ebooks can be any length, but down to about 3,000-4,000 words. Okay, does that help you, Ella?
Yes, about a book proposal rather than the book. Is there an approximate number of pages for a book proposal, which includes the sample chapter?
I'm going to say no. You might have some agents who say yes, they're typically about 25 pages. In my experience, it depends how much you have, you know, in your platform section, things like that, how long your promotion plan is, all of that. And, you know, I've had proposals that I've turned in that have been as large as 80 pages. I'm just getting something out to look at because I have somebody else's proposal here that was quite a large proposal. And I'm going to tell you how long that was. But, yeah, I mean, anywhere I would say from 25 pages to, like I said, to 80 or 100 pages. Okay, so hang on. I have somebody else's proposal here I'm looking at. So, one. And I don't have the sample chapters to his. I do have his chapter summaries. So, yeah, without sample chapters, this one is 45 pages long.
Okay.
And then there's one that's for a novel, and it is 22. Yeah, that one's about 26 pages, so not short. I always say writing a book proposal is like writing the book, you know. I mean, it's not a short thing. It's and it takes quite a while.
Yes. My problem is I tend to have way too many word counts, too much word count. So
then you need somebody to edit it. You know, there are lots of, I mean, if you have somebody, if you can't do it, then you need to have somebody edit it who knows about book proposals. So, like, I do book proposal editing. But there are other people out there as well, you know, possibly that have more experience or whatever. But in any case, you need somebody to help you get to the point because the literary agents and the publishers don't have the time to read long. And it's a marketing document, so remember that. This is a marketing document. So everything in it should be making an argument for the marketability of your book. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
Yep.
Very much.
You're very welcome. Good question. Anyone else have a question? And somebody else joined us, I think. Who joined us?
It's Pam, sorry.
Hey, Pam.
Oh.
Anyone on the call?
Go ahead, I'm just
not, no, Jackie, Ella. Ella, were you on the first? Oh, you were. Okay, I was just looking to see if anybody didn't get to introduce themselves and their book topic. But it looks like everyone who's on the call right now has done that. Okay, so who else has questions?
I have a couple questions, Nina. This is Jackie.
Okay,
and
Jackie.
Before I ask my question, I wanted to comment on what you said to Ella. I find myself, if I find a blog post that's really long, like you say, maybe over 500 words, or even a newsletter. Sometimes I get a newsletter from someone, and it's really long. I find myself not reading it. I'm telling myself, well, okay, I don't have time right now. I'll read it at another time. So I think your comment about keeping the blog post around 500 words is a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen that online as well. I've seen other people say that some newsletters or blog posts, they get us so long, they'll go through half of it and then they'll come back and they say they're going to read the rest of it later and they never get back to it. But anyway, my question was, on the homework assignment, you had something about, you said something about posting on your Facebook page as opposed to your profile. I'm not really active on Facebook, and I'm getting ready to get a Facebook, you know, do all of that, get into the social media thing. So what's the difference? Are you saying you should have a special page for what we're doing, your writing, which is different from the regular Facebook when you talk to people?
Yeah, it is different, not enormously, but here's the thing. So you have to have a Facebook profile. When you join Facebook, that's what it asks you to have.
Right.
And most people just go along using their Facebook profile. Most writers and authors go along using it till they realize that they can have what's called a professional or a business page. And you can indicate when you set up the page whether you're a public figure or an author or whatever. So mine used to say author, and then I changed it to public figure because I do a lot of training and stuff like that, so I don't just do writing. So, although that's my primary thing, but in any case, the page is, you know, more like a business. And so what they allow you to do from the page is to run ads. So, you know, today on Facebook, the majority, I mean, you do see your friends' feed, you know, but if you're doing anything business-related from a page, it used to be that that would run through feeds just the same as everything else. But these days, what we see most from people's pages are what's paid for. Which doesn't mean you have to pay for everything, but you know, Facebook just went to a advertising type model. So the page allows you to advertise or to promote posts so that you can get more views on your stuff. It also allows you, really, if you're doing promotions and things like that, it's the place to do that. It allows you to connect with other people's pages that you know you're liking their page, not becoming their friend. And it also gives you, because, so here's what happened to me, Jackie. I had a profile, mm-hmm. and I just had a profile, and I was posting everything there. So, you know, here I am, mm-hmm. I'm running, you know, 3 blog posts a week on one blog and 2 on another, and, you know, I mean, just blog posts out the wazoo. And so I'm promoting them all on my Facebook profile to my friends and family. Now,
right. There
are a lot of people who follow me on Facebook because I'm a writer and an author, and so they're my friends. You know, I have way more friends on Facebook than I actually have friends on Facebook.
Right, I understand. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But my actual friends and family didn't really care to hear about my blog posts every 2 seconds.
Right.
So I moved it all over to my page. I created a page. It's branded just like my websites, and that's where the blog posts go, unless I want to share one every now and then with my friends and family. But because I didn't know to do this early on, I ended up with a lot of people following me, like I said, on, you know, who are my friends on Facebook, where they really needed to be on my page. Because now they're my friends, and they don't know when I'm promoting something. They don't know when I have a new book. Well, I actually do talk about my new books on my profile, but you get the idea. You want to drive them somewhere where you can then say, my new book is out, my new book is out. You know, here's something else about my book. Here's a course I'm running. Here's my latest blog post. And if your friends and family aren't going to be interested in that, then you need to do that on a page. And although you can pick and choose who sees what, but that's a pain in the rear, I've found, you know, to always remember to select what audience you want when you post something on Facebook. It's easier just to put it on the page. The other thing is the hot thing on Facebook right now is Facebook Live, which are the videos, because Facebook is competing with Google, with YouTube. They want to be the next YouTube. And so if you do Facebook Live videos, they get seen really well. And it's a great way to let people know who you are and promote things and all of that.
Is that a video of yourself that you do?
Yeah. Just turn on your phone. Matter of fact, if you use Chrome, most people now, if you use Chrome, have the ability with their Facebook page to do a live video right from their computer. But everybody can do it from their phone.
Oh, that's scary. I don't think I'm ready for that. I mean, it sounds interesting. That was another question I was going to ask you about, because I've heard you mention that a couple times. I've heard of a couple other people. And I'll get there eventually. I know that. But I'm not really comfortable on video, but that was my next question, exactly what is Facebook Live? And I'm not going to keep you because I know other people have questions as well. I wanted to ask you something about what you just said about the profile, but I'll let somebody else talk.
Oh, no, just finish up. That's okay. Just finish your questions.
Well, basically,
and by the way, you can go live from your Facebook profile, not page, as well. So you can do both, but from the desktop, you can only do it, I believe you can only do it to your page. But try getting comfortable with it, because video is the thing. People want to see you. Anyway, so what was the other question you had?
Yeah, my son and I, we watched the movie Lion the other night. And I loved it. And Lion kind of ties in with the kind of writing I'll be doing with the ACT program. So I told my son, I said, I'm gonna write I set up a Facebook profile 4 years ago. I never post anything, but it's time for me to start doing that. So I told my son, I said, it inspired me so much, I'm gonna write a short post, kind of like my review, my take on Lion. So based on what you were saying just now, you're a professional in the sense that you have several blogs up that people actually read that the public knows about. My blog won't be live for a couple more months, and nobody knows me. I'm a nobody right now. So my review, I was just going to put it on my profile page because I'm not ready for a Facebook page that you were talking about because I don't have enough work yet, and I haven't built anything yet. So that's correct, right? I should put it on my profile page.
No. I would get the page up, and I would start telling people on your profile to go on over and check out your page and to like it and tell them why. Tell them this is what I'll be sharing there. And then I would start sharing. You could share something like the review there, but you can also do what we call curate content.
Oh, okay.
So I think I mentioned that in the webinar. So, you know, if you like other pages that are similar to yours, you can now share their stuff very easily you can share their stuff to your page. You just click on it and, you know, hit share and share to your page. The other thing you can be doing in the meantime is getting comfortable creating what we called quote cards. So, you know, every one of my blog posts at the top has a picture with some kind of, you know, saying on it and my logo or my website address or whatever. And you could be creating those in Canva or PicMonkey. In the Nonfiction Writers University, I did several videos on how to create art, you know, images for your sites. And you could be sharing that kind of stuff already. That stuff gets shared really well. And you could share it on your profile and on your page.
Okay, so the fact that I really don't have an audience or community or anything yet doesn't really matter then.
You want to start building it, because then when you
start
launch your blog, you'll be able to say, I just launched my blog. Go on over. You've got 5 posts up. Go over and read them.
Okay.
So there isn't any reason to wait. I always tell you, don't, you know, just be doing it all as fast as you can so you build your audience.
Right.
Because that's a big, not excuse, but, you know, people say it all the time, well, I don't have my website up yet. Well, yeah, you do want to be driving people to your website, but if you don't have your website up yet, at least start building traffic somewhere else, building, you know, in a community somewhere else, so that then you can tell them when your website is up.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else has a question for me?
Nina, this is Pam, and I have a question, and it's similar to what Jackie was asking, so I'm going to ask you to reiterate some of that in a different way, maybe. So I have now, this is about the blog and the author page, so to speak, even though I'm not an author yet. I'm a writer. And Facebook, too, I guess, is pulled in there. So I am building my blog right now, and I haven't published yet because I'm getting all the elements together. And I've got the same kind of question. I'm not an author yet, but it sounds to me like what I've heard you say before is that you still do want some sort of landing page, so to speak, the author page, that even though you don't have much on it except for what you're talking about here, the quote cards and the other people's posts and things like that.
Okay, so wait, I lost you somewhere.
Yeah.
So you're also getting up your website.
Yeah.
And what is the exact question? I was listening to you and somehow I didn't hear the actual question.
From what I'm kind of pulling together a lot of different things I've heard you say, and I want to make sure I've got them in the right sequence. So your blog is kind of your, I think you called it a radio station. It's going out to Facebook. It's going out to your different websites.
Yes.
And your social media. The blog is the main driving vehicle.
Well, it's where you're doing the majority of your content marketing. So you're producing content there to market whatever you're doing, right?
Okay.
So basically provide valuable information on a regular basis to your audience. And that gives you something then to share to the social media. So, yes, you're broadcasting your message from your home station, the blog, to your satellite stations, which are the social media sites. So once you have a blog post, you share it to all of them. So, yes, that's the
basic
idea.
Now, what about your I don't want to say main page, because the blog is probably your main thing to get people, pull people in with your updates every day or whatever. What about the author page? How do you incorporate
the author page?
Page?
You mean on your site, like your about page?
Yeah, that type thing. Yeah.
So that's where you have your bio. But on a blog or a website these days, for someone who is, I mean, if you're going to keep it very professional, like, okay, I'm promoting a cause and, you know, I'm going to have an organization or something like that, a charity or, you know, whatever, then you might keep it more professional. But if you go look, for instance, at mine, my author pages or my about pages are written in the first person. It's a story. And so, you know, it's quite long. Yours doesn't have to be that long. I'm just saying, you know, it's quite long. It lets people really get to know who I am and why I do what I do. But I see others that are much shorter. You can break it up into little sections and say, you know, have your experience and also have your mission statement, because, you know, you have a mission statement for what you're doing. So, you know, there are lots of ways to do it, but I would probably tend towards first person. And, you know, you can have about me, you know, or about the author, about this blog, about my mission. You know what I mean? A lot of things could be on that author page. But the idea is to give them a really good sense of who you are.
And that's where you also can talk about your calls. Even though an author's page, what I've seen, the author page almost always seems to be under the person's name, their real name. And it's okay to do a calls under that.
Yeah,
under
but you can also,
name.
On a website, you can have a drop-down menu. So you could have about the author or about, you know, about Pam, and then you could have about Pam's mission, about, you know.
Yep.
So, you can do it. You can set that up any way you like.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. All right. Thank you.
Does that answer your question? Mm.
Yeah, it does. I was trying to figure out whether I should work on the blog first and then do the author page. Or it sounds like the author page.
Okay. So let's get clear here.
Yeah.
You have a blog. A blog is a website.
You're
using WordPress. Then you have WordPress as your content management system. So WordPress is creating your website. There is one page on this website, which is the blog.
Yeah.
Okay? You write and I'm doing this for everyone, Pam. I'm not picking on you, okay, because this comes up all the time.
Yeah.
You then write a blog post, a post. So if you're working on the blog, you're talking about working on posts to publish on the blog. Okay?
Yes.
Before you do that, the rest of the website has to be set up. You need the about page. You need a contact page. You need to have signed up with an email marketing system like MailChimp or AWeber so that you can put up a form that they create, they help you create that says subscribe here. But really what you want it to say is get this free thing here, and then you want to create a free thing, something related to your cause that is valuable, that people who are interested in this topic would want. I work with a guy who he's writing a book, and he's putting excerpts of all these stories that are in the book on his blog, and it's about a particular type of car. And so his, what we call lead magnet, the free thing you're giving away, his lead magnet is going to be something about, 10 things you need to know to buy this type of car. So even though his site is not about buying these cars, there are a lot of stories about people buying these cars, and so that will attract people who are enthusiastic about this type of car to his site and make them want to give him their email address, right? And then he can contact them.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say one of the first things you want to do is have this form up on your site and be giving something away for free and learn how to use the email marketing system, which will automatically deliver this stuff for you once it's set up. Because when you get people to your site, what do you want them to do? Yes, you want them to share your blog posts to the social media sites, but you also want them to say, hey, I want to hear about everything you're doing. You want them to give you their email address.
Yeah, okay.
There are other things that need to be on there. You need to have a way for them to connect with you on all the social media sites. So usually you'll see that, follow us here, and with information on where to follow you. You'll also see, what else? There needs to be a way for them to share your blog post. So a lot of things need to be in place before you actually go live with your blog and your website. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Yeah. Yeah, I was coming up backwards. For some reason, I was thinking the blog is kind of the. Okay.
No, but you want everything set up on your website so that when you release your first blog post, people can immediately begin subscribing, and sharing and all that stuff, and that everything's there, that that they can find out who you are. So set up your website first, then worry about the blog posts. And there's some people who feel like they have to have 5 or 6 blog posts in the bag ready to go. I don't think that's necessary. You're not going to have any real readers immediately. So, if you have one blog post published and then you publish the next one, that's fine. That's what I always did. I never had a whole bunch of them there, as soon as I launched. I just launched and went for it. But if you feel like you can't keep up, if you can't keep to a blogging schedule, like 2 posts a week, then I would be writing while you're getting the website set up, write some blog posts and have them ready to go, because you can actually, in WordPress, you can schedule your blog posts. So you can, you know, have five or six in there scheduled, so that that way, you know, you aren't always scrambling, which is what I end up doing a lot of the time. I'm scrambling to get my posts done.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Other questions?
Nina, this is Pam again. I do have another question, a follow-up question.
It's Nina, Pam. It's Nina.
Nina, I'm sorry. I grew up with a Nina Howard. I'll
never
forget it.
You with your southern accent, I know.
I
lived in the South for a long time. Everyone called me Nina. So I don't take it personally at all. I just thought I'd correct you. So don't
Thank
feel
you.
Badly.
Well, I won't promise I'll remember. Okay. Well, Nina, I was going to ask. you know, I'm at the point, I fired my web person for obvious reasons. It's taken her 3 months. She has got nothing but a form template. And I have contacted who you told me about, Danielle. And, boy, she's wonderful. I can tell. She's right up there. And I'm going to eventually hire her to do the web page. But what I'm thinking it could be, because I've been dragging my feet for 3 months in this other, and I'm being in limbo for 3 months really takes a lot of energy from you mentally and emotionally. And I'm kind of like, oh, gosh, do I really want to do this? Is this really realistic? I'm in that phase. And I'm wondering, I was thinking about maybe just doing the blog and making sure this is what I want to do, that I'm ready to commit to this first.
You mean as a book? I mean,
as a blog.
Commit to the book.
Yeah, commit to the book. I mean, even commit to, yes, no, that's right. Even commit to a blog.
I would start the blog. I mean, there are writers out there who don't have blogs. I mean, look at, you know, Tony Robbins has some really big books, you know, no blog. Who else?
Well, I'm not even sure I thought I would start with a blog.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
first,
I think that's a good idea, because it's also a way to test market your book idea.
Exactly. Yes.
Because you're writing about it, and you can see if you gain any traction with it. However, whether or not you gain traction with it also depends on whether you're sharing it on social networks, whether anybody's following you on social networks. You know what I mean? It's not an overnight thing.
Yeah.
Blogging is not overnight success. It's hard work. It takes a lot of tenacity. You know, it's a long-term project. So I would say, start your blog. Start building your community and your platform, and see how you feel about all of it. And then if you still want to write the book, you can. The other thing is, you could be blogging a good bit of the book. Are you going to self-publish?
I don't think so, but I don't know yet, but I don't.
Okay.
I tend to say no.
Okay. Well, if you're going to traditionally publish, your blog is enormously important.
Yeah.
Because this is where you begin to prove you have an audience, and you, like for me, it was my blogs, not my social media presence, that got me my first book deal, and probably my second. But now my blogs are getting more traffic than they used to, and so, again, they've become more important probably than my social media presence. Not that social media presence isn't important, but the way you build your social media presence is by providing great content that people want to share and read and subscribe to. So the blog is the foundation for all of that. So I actually think if you want to be go traditionally published, that you should be starting the blog first anyway.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like to me.
Do you have any
author
of your
page
book
still
written
be important.
At this point, Pam?
I'm one of those people. I've got notebooks, probably 8 notebooks that I've kept for 4 years of all different types of information. My writing, but also quotes from my mother, quotes from other people, you know, things like that, just stuff you pick up.
Right. Hello? Somebody just join us?
Hello?
Yes, this is the author of Change Transformational Coaching Program. Are you in the right place?
Hi. Yes, this is Hasina.
Oh, hi, Hasina, all the way from South Africa.
Hi.
Hi. Glad you could make it.
Sorry, I couldn't make it, Hasina.
Okay. All right. Well, Pam was just talking about something, so we'll come back to you in just a minute, okay? Glad you could make it. Hasina was in the very first session that I did of this, and trying to remember. Hasina, we're going to have you introduce yourself in a minute because you didn't get to do that the first time. So we'll come back to you in just a minute, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, Pam. Now I forgot what I was saying to you. Or where you were talking.
I'm not. I forgot it too, I was making notes, wasn't it?
Oh, well, we were talking about traditional publishing.
Oh, yeah, what comes first? I mean, it sounds like the blog and then... I have a huge amount of written stuff that is totally disorganized because I just kept it over the 4 years.
Okay, so here would be my plan for you. Go ahead, set up the blog, get the website up and running. Okay, make that commitment that you are going to put yourself out there as an author with a website and start blogging on your topic. And then when you're not working on the blog, I want you to start working on a outline for your book. Actually, what you should be doing is a business plan for the book. And if you're a Nonfiction Writers University member, there should be information in there on creating a business plan for your book. So, you know, that's the market analysis and competitive analysis, and you're going to take that and your pitch and your list of benefits and stuff like that, and you're going to then create an outline for the book. Once you have an outline for the book, you're going to start thinking about how to, and we're going to be talking about this next month in the third module. Okay, we'll go into this in depth. So that'd be a good time for you to start that. You don't have to do it right now, but that's when you do your chapter summaries and you actually decide what's going in every chapter. Because you have all these notebooks, the thing to do is once you have your chapter outlines, you go to the notebooks and you start looking for stuff that will go in each chapter. Okay? It's going to give you a lot more clarity on what you're doing than what you have with a bunch of notebooks and an idea.
Sounds right. That sounds great.
Yeah, so just give it another 2 weeks, and we'll be into that module, and that's what we'll be talking about pretty quickly. Okay? So just know that that's what you're going to do. And in the meantime, just get the website up and running so that you can start blogging. And then, you know, you want to be blogging on your topic, obviously. So, you know, you'll begin to see as you start sharing whether people are interested or not.
Yep. Okay, good.
Okay.
Everybody keeps using the word author. It used to be you couldn't call yourself an author unless you were published. Is that true now in this world of social media?
Yeah,
so okay.
I mean, you could be published with a, you know, I produced a bunch of, I've told the story that, you know, I was told to go out and speak, and I didn't think I could get speaking gigs unless I had a book, and so I produced short versions of my long books, many of which are only now short versions of long books because I haven't gotten back to them. But they, you know, think about it, you get a letter in the mail, and on the envelope it says free book inside. Have you ever gotten one of those?
Oh, yeah.
And you open it up, and it's a tiny little booklet, right? Stapled, saddle stitched. It's a book. It's a booklet, really. So I produced booklets, printed booklets. Some of them are still available on my website. If you go to ninaamir.com, they're not available anywhere else, and they are now PDF books, you know, where I send you the PDF of it because I'm not printing them anymore. But that's how I began to call myself an author, was just with those. Here's the thing, though. If you write a blog, you're the author of the blog.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
But there are other, but also you'll see it, there are many, many big-time publicists and publishing pros who will tell you also, in your signature on your email, it should always say, author of the forthcoming book. The book's not done yet, but you're the author of it. So these are ways to get around it, okay?
Okay. I like it.
Yeah. And you also don't have to have an about the author page. You can just have an about page if you're uncomfortable.
You mean about the what you're trying to achieve? Or
yeah, on the website. Most people just have an about page.
Oh, I see. Oh.
Yeah, so it doesn't say about the author. It just says about. Like mine on Write Nonfiction Now, it just says about. Then if you do a drop-down, look at the drop-down, it says about this blog, about Nina Amir. It doesn't say about the author.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
Because those sites, Write Nonfiction Now is not about me as an author. It's about helping people write nonfiction. So, I do promote my books there, but it's not, that's not the point, really. So.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
All right. I got a clear view now. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. So, Hasina, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. So, Hasina, you never got to introduce yourself when we did our first coaching session. And did you introduce yourself? Have you been on one of the other coaching sessions and introduced yourself?
No, this is my first one.
Okay. So, what we did the very first one was we just said where we, say where you are, like where you live, and then just talk about the book you're writing, your cause and the book you're writing. So just very briefly, just let everybody know who you are so those who aren't on the call and listen in will get to meet you.
Okay. Well, hi, everyone. My name is Hasina Patel, and I'm from a town called Newcastle in South Africa, which is about 3 hours south of Johannesburg. I am an author. I have written books before, I have set the standard higher now. So one of my books is out of print, and the other book I'd like to kind of repurpose in some way because they don't make me feel like much of an author. But my latest book, The Truth Walker's Journey, is more a system. I think it's going to become a business. And I'm busy with that book, and it's taking form, but I keep feeling like there's something missing. I'm not rushing it, because it's going to take shape, and whatever it's meant to be is going to come.
Okay, so your past books were on what, Hasina?
My first book, I Choose Victory, was a self-help book for people who were going through crises based on my own family's crisis on a health challenge. And then I had an e-book called The Question Power Book, also a self-help thing about asking questions. I don't consider the third one a book anymore, so I've taken it off and I'm not mentioning it.
Okay, and the Truth Walker system is about what?
Okay, that's about, it would be a system of living your truth for healthy, happy living and unbecoming who you are not.
Okay. And then what Hasina has not said is she has an organization for young women. You want to just mention that?
Oh, my word, yes. I'm sorry. I wrote, my sister and I co-authored a book called Leave No Girl Behind. I've been fasting and I'm really tired now. But that book, I consider a book, and it has contributions from people around the world. And our organization is to empower girls around the world using various programs and tools and working with other organizations too.
Awesome. Awesome. Anything else you want to mention, Hasina?
And then I've started a business called Momentum Builders, which is to help women celebrate and honor themselves together with a business partner in New Jersey.
Okay. And the new book you're working on, The Truth Walker System, is that the one that you, is that the book that you had in mind when you rejoined the course, this course?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Super. Did you have any questions today, Hasina? I think everybody else has asked.
I'm feeling, I suppose, slightly overwhelmed because I have, social media pages, and I should do a website for Truth Walker's Journey, but it just feels like there's so many things and one doesn't know how to focus. And one of my concerns is that if I use the same material, like if I post the same 5-minute video on my Truth Walkers page, you know, and then post it on my personal page, like I just want people to feel it's recycled material and it's, you know, I don't want to bore them. That's just overwhelming, those kinds of things.
Okay, so the question is really, how do you, like, what should you recycle and what should you not, so that you're not overwhelmed by how much material you need to put out there? Is that correct?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so that's a great question. So when I put, I don't know how you're using videos on your website, but so for me, for instance, on ninaamir.com, I have a video every Monday with a blog post. Uh-huh. And so I then will share, I don't share the video separately. It's on YouTube. You know, it's available on YouTube. I could actually be sharing just the video on YouTube for sure. I just tend not to do that because it's too much work for me to go get the link from YouTube and then create a whole other set of things to share, right, tweets and whatever. Yeah. So I usually just drive people to my website because that's actually where I want them to go, is to my website. And so I don't actually recycle the video. I just share the URL, you know, from my website to all the different social media sites. I also am starting to use the images. So I always create, I talked about this a little earlier before you were on, I create images that have little words on them or whatever and my logo or my URL, and those are on the blog post. So that's what gets actually seen more than the video when I share. And then I can actually just take those images and share them as what we call quote cards on the social media. So in that way, I could drive them back to the blog again, but I am promoting, you know, the idea from that blog post just with the image, and that gets shared. If I was going to take content from my blog, I probably would just use a little snippet and then just say, read more here and link back. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's answering your question at all.
Yes. It's, a lot of ideas are popping up. I guess one just has to be super organized about it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not as organized about it as I should be. I'm about to try out a service called Buffer, and Buffer allows you to easily from your blog schedule, you know, content to go out. There's a service I do use called Social Oomph, like OOMPH, socialoomph.com. I pay for it, and you can create what they call cues, and you could, for instance, write tweets or write LinkedIn or even Facebook updates and have them cycling through, you know, so that it posts them automatically on whatever schedule you tell it to post them. So there are some services that help you be more organized about it. I tend to just go to my blog and just share, to be honest. And, you know, to try to do that, like, twice a week, you know, to share from the actual site. That's really all I'm doing right now. But my blogs and my websites or blogs have a plugin installed called Revive Old Posts. And Revive Old Post, what it does is it shares my old, the archive of my content to Twitter on a schedule that I indicate. So if I want a new blog post to show up on Twitter or an update from my blog every 5 hours, it will do that. And it just draws from all my old content. And so that's going to Twitter all the time. And so that's a really nice way to, you know, constantly be giving the people on Twitter content from your blog.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. I do like the idea, to be honest, Hasina, of sharing the YouTube videos, the actual videos, because people are way more interested in videos these days. And so you know, sharing actually directly from YouTube or wherever your videos are is probably not a bad idea. We talked a little bit before about Facebook Live, and I would be looking at that, and that's a way you can repurpose content really easily so that people don't think it's the same content. So, for instance, you could go to YouTube Live, and you could, so just like you're doing the video for your website, you could be doing a YouTube Live video. You can actually download that from YouTube later and use it on your blog if you want to, or upload it to YouTube. But you could also just go there and do a two-minute video just talking about the same topic as your blog post and then drive them to your blog. You know, say, hey, I wrote more about this over here. And that's an easy thing to do, you know, if you're comfortable on camera because, you know, you're just holding up your phone and talking for 2 minutes or 3 minutes and then saying, go over here, right?
Yeah. But that's a great idea.
Okay, so does that answer your question?
Yes. Definitely. Thanks, Nina.
Okay. Yeah, and the more organized you are, of course, the easier it's going to be. I just tend to I'm a little more haphazard with my social media usage than I probably should be, but it's, you know, I do so many things besides writing and building platform that sometimes it's harder for me, but it would probably be easier if I had a system and it was more organized, which is why I'm looking at something like Buffer, which is right on the website, and you can write your blog post, and then I think you can just, like, drag and drop to, you know, what days you want things shared. And so that would make it way easier, you know, to go in there and just plug things into a little calendar right on your website. So I do recommend that over what I've been doing.
Okay. Thanks.
Because, actually, my thought has been for a while, which is why I'm going to try Buffer, is that I actually am not, I could be increasing my my number of visits to the blog, you know, people reading my blog, if I was sharing in a more consistent way.
Okay.
And that would probably also build my social media platforms more if I was doing this in a more systematic way. So yes, I do recommend that. Mm-hmm. I just have not been doing it as systematically as I probably should. But hopefully that helps you with some ideas for repurposing the content a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and, you know, at the very least, yeah, I just go to my website. I have sharing tools there, you know, like for other people to share. I just go there and I share. Mm-hmm. If you share to Twitter first, or if you share to Pinterest, if you have an image and you share to Pinterest, it will go to Twitter. Come back a couple hours later, share to LinkedIn. It will go to Twitter. Come back a few hours later, share to Facebook. And if your Facebook is set up to share to Twitter, it will go to Twitter again.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then share to Google+, which doesn't have any link anywhere. But if you're on Google+, you can then share there. And so you will have, you know, in less than, maybe a minute, you will have shared somewhere and had it go two places at least. And if you do that, you know, a couple times a day, like I said, and just share to a different site each time, you will have actually put out a lot of content in that day. And all you've done is share your post.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then the next day, go and share an old post the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just put on your calendar every day, you know, first thing in the morning to share, and then at lunchtime to share, and in the evening to share, you'd have shared three times a day some kind of content, which is actually really good.
Yeah. That's a very good idea. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have a blog running?
No. I've actually been redefining the whole thing and, you know, wanting to incorporate, for example, my Akashic Record readings with Truth Walkers. So it's just a matter of me finding some system and definition, which is happening in the next few days.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds to me like you need to figure out what you're going to be saying, you know, what your main message is. So go back through the homework and, you know, work on that mission statement and all of that, and then brand your website around that and come up with a content plan. So that's the thing that I really recommend the most, is that you have a content plan for your blog, a 3-month content plan.
Yeah.
And you can be cycling through different things like the Akashic readings as well as the Truth Walker system, and, you know, anything else you're promoting, you know, you want to be thinking about that. What all will you want to be promoting there? Mm-hmm. And cycle through those topics.
Yeah.
But have a main topic for sure so that Google knows what you write about.
Okay.
Okay?
That makes sense. Thank you.
Yep. If you have another question, let me know. I just realized Petra hasn't asked any questions. Petra, did you have a question?
No, not really.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just wanted to be sure.
Okay, I had a question earlier, and I meant to write it down, and I don't remember what it was, but it might come back to me.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else have questions today?
This is Ella. Quick question.
Yeah.
I'm presenting at a conference for a two-hour event. My plan was to take, you know, get professional video and video it and put it on YouTube. That sounds, based on what you just said, way too long. It would need to be edited down. How long should YouTube things be?
You know, I think it varies. I actually have to admit I don't know whether there is a limit on a YouTube video. YouTube length limit. I'm Googling. It says 15 minutes is the default maximum length, but can be extended by visiting some website.
Oh.
I've never put anything up there that long. That said, excuse me, you know, like the training I did yesterday, it went to YouTube and it was an hour and a half long. Right now it's private, but the question I would have for you about that would be more along, okay, so here's what I would do with something like that. So you're talking about a two-hour basically it's a training. You're talking for 2 hours about something, you know, I would call it a training. And
yeah.
What I would do with that is I would I would edit it if necessary. Maybe at least put an intro at the end. I mean, at the beginning, not an intro, but like a page that says, you know, a screen that says what you're going to be doing. Excuse me. And then at the end, some, you know, information on how to contact you. And then I would create a sales page, basically, what we call an opt-in page. So something that said, you know, you say, like on Facebook, you put something up and say, I did a two-hour training, and at such and such a place, and if you would like to watch it, you know, it was on this topic or whatever. And if you would like to watch it, click here to register, you know, just click here. And then I would create a page. So kind of like when you guys sign up for the webinars for this program, for the Author of Change program, you know how you have to go and you put in your name and email address? I would do that. I would create what's called an opt-in page where people opt in to watch the training. Now what's happening is you're collecting email addresses of people interested in your topic. Once they have done that, they get access to the video. Does that make sense?
Yes, and this is all run from my website, this opt-in page.
You can create an opt-in page on your website, or you can use this. Usually you have to have some kind of you're probably going to have some kind of a plugin that's a page builder. Well, not necessarily. What you do need to have is you need to have a email marketing system again. So either AWeber, Constant Contact. Well, I wouldn't use Constant Contact for something like this. AWeber or MailChimp, and then you get them. They'll give you HTML code, which you can drop into the text part. Not the visual part of your website, of the page. So you're creating a page. You say, thanks for, you know, or, you know, whatever. Watch my two-hour training on such and such topic. Just fill out the form below. So basically on Twitter or Facebook or wherever, you're sending them to that page. The page is there. It has the information on that you've gotten, you know, that you've typed in, and then you get the HTML code from your email marketing system, like MailChimp, and you put that into the back end, which is called the text view, not the visual view. And then it's pretty simple, really. It sounds complicated. It's not. And then when you go back and look at the page, you'll see that the opt-in form is there. And they opt in by giving you their email address. And then they have to be taken somewhere, though. So then they either have to get an email that says, you know, you'd have to have on the page, watch for an email, you know, something like that. Otherwise, because you have to then deliver that video, you have to take them somewhere, which could be to another page on your website, which is fine. Then you just, you know, but they're probably going to have to get a link, somehow get the link for that. And if you're doing it like that, page by page, it's a little harder. So if you use, I use Webinar Jam. So Webinar Jam has another service called EverWebinar. If I was going to do something like this, I would put it on EverWebinar. And that way, when people put in their email address, it automatically delivers them the video. And I don't have to do anything. I mean, I've set it all up, right? So you need to have a delivery system, basically, Ella. Okay, so it's a little, that part of it's a little more complicated. But the idea is you want to tell people, go here to watch this, you know, go opt in over here to watch the video. They opt in, they get the video. Does that make sense?
Thank you so much. It saved me a lot of potential problems. Thank you.
Yeah, so that's how I would use something like that. The other thing you can do with it, Ella, is you can sell it. But if you want to list build, then, you know, if you want to build your platform and your community, then I would be giving it away for free. But if you want, but if you wanted to, at some point you could take it down, and you could just, and then you could sell it as a product.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Other questions?
Nina, I did it right. I said it right. Nina.
Yes. This is you usually do, actually. Today was the first day you didn't. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, good. I got lazy. Hey, I've got a question about, and I bet you everybody's going to have this question at some point. There are, because we're working on a cause, there are stories that I want to collect to use in my blog and also in my book from other family caregivers. I read the stories on Facebook that people are putting out there, and everyone is so involved with each other because we're trying to support each other. And I'm realizing we feel like victims because of the exhaustion and the, you know, all the frustration and all that. But really we're warriors, and I think I'm kind of coming from that angle, that we're really warriors, and we need to start seeing ourselves that way so that we feel powerful and, you know. So I want to collect their stories. At what point can we, now remembering that I personally am new at the getting out the blog and my author page, can we start saying, tell me your story, tell me more? I mean, I'm friends with some of them now, so I can ask them behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? What would be the process
right,
of saying, can I tell your story? Can I share your story?
At the point when you want, when you decide that you're going to do your blog and you want to share them on the blog, or mm-hmm. in the book. So you can definitely approach them and say, I'm considering writing a book and I'm looking for stories. Would you be willing to tell me yours? But there's more to it than that because, excuse me, you're going to want to have a permission form.
Ah.
You know, so if they tell you the story. So I was just doing
yeah.
this, talking about this with one of my other clients. He went to a lawyer and he actually got himself a permission form. So you want them to give you permission to publish the story, right?
Yeah.
And there, you know, maybe you want to show it to them before it's published, so it's accurate, and so that would be in there. You know, you give me permission to publish this, I will allow you to look at it for accuracy's sake only. You know, so this whole thing about, you know, them giving you permission before you publish anything. But then you'll have to decide, are you publishing it on the blog or are you publishing it in the book? And what my client is doing is he has all these stories, and on the blog he's telling the stories but not in as great depth as he does in the book. So the book actually takes each of these stories and is, you know, has way more detail. So, you know, so you could be doing that. And but
yeah,
I think you should be starting now. I mean, if you think you need stories, collecting stories can take quite a while. So I would be doing that sooner rather than later.
I was thinking about having in the sidebar somewhere a corner just for these stories. Maybe it's another way would be just that they get to comment on it. This is their little spot to say what their experience is. But they actually
You can do that too. You can, or you can feature someone. So, for instance, on howtobloggabook.com, if I can find people, you know, who have gotten a blog to book deal, I will feature them. And I send them a questionnaire, and I just publish their answers. I edit their answers to make sure they look okay, you know, they sound okay. But I just, you know, they fill
out
the questionnaire, and I publish the answers.
That's a great idea.
And then having something that says you give me, you know, give me permission to publish this on my website, you retain the rights to the material, but you also give me the rights to use this information in a book at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
So then they've given it to you. See, I don't ever worry about those because they've given me the information.
Yeah, that's I like that. Yeah, I'm going to go over to your website and look at that. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, there's one there. Yesterday there was one I published, actually.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yep. All right, any last questions before we finish for today? How's everybody doing with the program? Are you falling behind? Because I know there's a lot of the homework is extensive, but as I have told you before, it's you don't have to complete it all in 1 week. I do like it if you can complete the action plans because, you know, or work through that. It doesn't have to be done every week, as I said, but make sure that in the next, you know, 3 to 6 months, you know, but by the time the course ends, I would say within, you know, a month or two from the course ending, you should have your action plans done because that's what's going to move you forward with your projects. It's those action plans. So how's everybody doing with it? Any questions about the homework or concerns or with the webinars? No?
No. I'm behind, but I'm doing.
Yeah, well, I have somebody else who writes to me quite concerned because she's so behind. But you know, the material's not going to go away. Well, first of all, Paul, you can, you know, I think you can print it out. I mean, the PDF, the homework assignments, you should be able to download them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, you can. I do. I print them out every time.
And then you can download the slide deck, you know, the PDF of the slide deck for the webinars. So
say that again? What's the slide deck?
It's a PDF of all the slides from the presentation.
Oh,
it
slides.
Too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've already done that. Yeah.
Yeah. So once you have that, I mean, you know, and then there's the video. But in any case, you guys don't lose access to this once the course is over. You will have access to it. So work at your own pace. But you know, the more you can get done each week, the better prepared you will be when the course is over to get moving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Nina, I am behind, but I'm actually so excited because I get a sense of that as I do this, there's, you know, I'm just going to be building this whole definition and my book. So I'm very excited to do this through the homework, you know, and have these questions and be able to you know, build this as I go along.
Awesome. Yeah, and you'll probably notice that some, if you were to look at the webinars and the homework assignments, that not all of it, but quite a bit of it has changed since you took the course last time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it really does build, and hopefully, you know, like you're saying, Hasina, hopefully for everybody, the excitement should build about your projects because you're being given some you know, kind of step-by-step plans for moving forward. And hopefully you're getting a lot more clarity about your book ideas and about how to put yourself out there as authors change.
Nina, this is Jackie. I just wanted to say I agree with everything that everybody says so far. I feel very inspired. I'm a little bit behind. I am gaining more clarity. I'm feeling a lot of things, but I also feel like it's doable. Your action plans are very easy to follow. Like you say, it's something that's going to be ongoing as we build community. And I like the structure. I know what to do next. You know, I'm a little bit overwhelmed, but I'm going to catch up. But I am inspired, and I know what to do next. And I have a community to work with, our groups, if nothing else, for right now. And so I like the direction, everything. Even what you told me today when you answered my question, I was getting ready to put the write the review and put it on the profile page, and you told me to get a Facebook page, a regular page, but also the fact that I could curate, use other people's content. That was very helpful because I'm thinking if I write this review, I don't have anything else behind it. But if I can share what other people are doing, you know, just kind of get your feet wet. That was just good information for me. So I really love the program, and I'm glad you put it together the way you did for us.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, and I hope everybody does use the Facebook page. It's a great place to ask questions or talk about concerns or say what you're doing or get support or get feedback on, you know, on something. So do use it. And, you know, I'm going to run the program again. I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to do it again this year. I'm hoping to. But the Facebook page will gain more and more members, and you'll be, you know, you'll have a bigger community there. So do, you know, do use it. So, and I mean, it's great if you can keep up with, of course, but I do know that the homework assignments are quite extensive. So, you know, just even if you do just a little bit of them, you're going to be moving forward. Okay, any last questions?
I have a quick question. You know, with as one is defining oneself, maybe other people also have this concern, like you want to get it perfect because you feel like it looks unprofessional if you keep redefining or you keep tweaking it, and yet you have to. So how do you keep looking professional while you're sort of getting into it and listening to your readers/audiences needs and, you know, like redefine and still come across professional that you're not chopping and changing every minute?
Yeah, so you know, you do want to get out there and not have your branding and all of that be the thing that holds you back. On the other hand, like you said, you don't want to be changing all the time. I always talk about Michael Hyatt with this. Michael Hyatt has changed his branding. So I've known Michael Hyatt since probably 2011. I actually met him in 2012 when How to Blog a Book came out. And I think since 2011, when I probably became more aware of him, he's changed his branding several times. And, you know, he'll just redo his whole page. You know, his whole website will just change. And the how he speaks about himself will change, not entirely, but one time it changed a good bit. I mean, it used to say something about leadership, you know, not conscious leadership, intentional leadership. And then it switched over to your virtual mentor. And, you know, then it had helping you win at life and succeed at work or something. And now that's kind of, that's still there, but it's put in with the virtual mentor thing. Anyway. He's tweaked it a lot, Hasina, and nobody seems to really care. So what I would say is get as clear as you can and move forward. And then maybe instead of changing it on a continual basis, like every couple months, say, I'm going to revisit this every 6 months or every 12 months and see how to tweak it. You know, am I farther along? Am I clearer about who I am and how I want to be known? Does that make sense?
Definitely. Thank you.
Yeah. So I just wouldn't be changing it every month. You know what I mean? Because that does get confusing.
Yes.
But, yeah, and you can even write about it, you know, and say, I mean, I've seen Michael do that, talk about, you know, I'm redoing my whole website and da-da-da. Yeah. So just be transparent.
Yeah.
And you can even say, you know, so I've been thinking about what I do, and I've decided to, you know, tweak my branding a little bit, and you're going to see that I'm now saying this instead of that. And I'd love your feedback, whether you think that really, you know, speaks to what I do for you.
Okay.
I mean, I look at my stuff all the time. You know, I mean, Write Nonfiction Now hasn't been updated in a long time. It was meant to be updated last November and didn't happen. So, you know, I've looked at that and said it really needs to be different. How to Blog a Book got a facelift when the new edition came out. NinaAmir.com is just about to get one. You'll see that if everybody were to go look at it now, you're going to see that it's going to change a fair amount. Because people, I do so many different things, it's hard for people to find them, and it's hard for me to promote what's most important to me to promote. And so we're changing it up so that it becomes way easier to navigate the site. And, for instance, the bit about mentoring boys who dance, you know, my blog about male dancers, isn't going to be featured on the phone page anymore. Because it's really ancillary to what I do. I mean, it's important to me, but not important enough for me to keep up with the blog anymore. So, I mean, I'm actually going to start offering high-performance coaching to the boys, and I'm going to start doing a video series there about high performance.
Awesome.
So that's sort of my solution to content. I'm probably not I may put a transcript there, you know, get the videos transcribed. But I'm not going to write blog posts there because I don't have the time. So my solution is videos. And that way I promote my high-performance coaching, right, which is, you know, I really want to be doing more of that and not just for writers. So I'm tweaking that too. It's been this way for a while. But, you know, everybody has to – websites change all the time, and their branding is an ongoing thing. It's always evolving. But just don't change every 10 seconds is what I would say.
Okay.
All right. There was somebody else who had a question quickly before we end. I remember when Hesina started to speak, somebody else started to speak too.
This is Ella. Quick question. And I may need to do a personal coaching with you on this if it's long. Is there a company I can hire to assist with my books of that are self-published? Do you recommend a company?
Assist in what way?
I can say this is going to be too long. Let me just save this for later then.
You sure? Well, just quickly, do what? To help
like
promote
for
them?
Example,
or?
No, not promote, just... like, for example, I struggled with Ex Libris for 5 years, and it nearly drove me insane to self-publish my textbooks.
Yep.
I nearly killed me. You said that you had outsource your self-publishing stuff. Is there a company I can just go to, or is this a whole different topic to discuss later?
No, I'll just tell you quickly. So first of all, don't ever use Ex Libris. Don't use any author house publication, you know, company. Don't use, and I'm not saying this for just you, Ella. I'm saying it for everyone. Don't use, I'm trying to think of the other ones. There are a whole bunch of them owned by author house. Balboa is one of them, as well as, despite the fact that I talk about Michael Hyatt, he promotes one that I can't remember which it is. Writer's Digest promotes one. These are what we used to call vanity publishing houses. I hate to say that because people hate to hear that. They became known as author services companies because they not only publish your book, they provide services that you can pay for. Promotion, editing, cover design, all kinds of things at a high price, but they're cookie cutter and the editing sucks, excuse my language. I've seen some of it. So they suck up your money, and then there are problems, and sometimes you can't get your rights back. So I'm not surprised, Ella, that it took you 5 years to get your books published there because they're not easy to work with. People think they are. And it's not seen in the marketplace as a commercially viable book. If you want a commercially viable book and you want to self-publish, you need to go to, and you can't do it yourself. So, So the way really to do it is to buy your ISBN numbers, and when you do that, you actually create a publishing company. You have a name for, you know, an imprint, we call it, a name for your publishing company. So like all my books, even though I do assisted self-publishing, are published under the imprint Pure Spirit Creations. And that is my imprint. So you buy your ISBN numbers, and then you go somewhere like Ingram Spark. Ingram Spark, excuse me, will publish your book for you, but and it'll even put it in the catalogs used by bookstores. But you have to provide them with a book that is totally designed, has a cover, all that stuff. Then they produce it for you. This is more work than most authors or writers want to do because you have to manage a team of people. You have to manage editors, designers, indexers, all kinds of things.
Yes.
Most writers don't have the time, don't have the interest in doing this, but they want to get their books out there, and self-publishing is a viable way of doing it. So what you want to do, Ella, I don't know if you can get your rights back or what from Ex Libris, but if you decided to go forward with those books or with a new book, you want to contact someone who does what we call assisted self-publishing. So the person that I go to, we have a referral agreement, so if you decide to go to her, please give her my name. Tell her I sent you. The person I most often send people to is Carla King. So I've interviewed Carla King several times on writenonfictionnow.com as well as in the Nonfiction Writers University. She has, Ella, if you or anyone else who's interested, why don't you email me at nina@ninaamir.com, and I will hook you up with Carla. Okay, I'll give you her direct email address, and you can tell her what you're looking for. Carla is a self-publishing whiz, and this is what she spends when she's not motorcycling around the world. She is working on self-publishing. She's a real expert in it. Now, what I do now is I have a literary agent who actually provides me with assisted self-publishing services. So they're traditionally publishing my work, and they're self-publishing my work.
Nina, this is Jackie. Joel Freelander he has a program, but I think his is relatively new. Is that the same thing?
He's had a program for a while. I don't know whether he's been – I haven't been reading his emails lately. I know that he had something. I don't know if it's a template kit that he's providing. But he does have a self-publishing service. I also have a referral agreement with Joel. So if you were to go to Joel, I'd love it if you'd use my name as well. But he does have a service. I think his service is way more expensive than Carla's.
Oh, okay. I think the highest was $1,700 because I downloaded a services guide. But it's kind of new. He just introduced that the last year
or
so.
Okay, he's had one for a while. Maybe he's just decided to go public with it. So,
oh, okay.
Yes, because he had given me information a long time ago about it and said, I don't really tell very many people about this. So maybe he's decided to go bigger with it. So, yeah, I mean, he'd be great. I mean, ask Carla what she would charge and then ask Joel. But you're still going to have to get your book edited. I think Carla might have some editors. I'm not sure. But that is the first step to self-publishing. So, Ella, I'm not sure if that will help you since your books are with Ex Libris, but if you can get them out of Ex Libris, if I were you, I would redo them.
Yes, I can. They're not. I did not give away any of my rights.
Okay.
Just the way that they did the layout, and if they're a third world country, it was horrific. So thank you. I'll move forward, but I really want to do traditional. So this was just a healing process. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Do you have an article on that, Nina?
On what?
On self-publishing and maybe what to do and what not to do.
Go to writenonfictionnow.com or even howtoblogabook.com and put in to the search engine self-publishing, and you'll find lots of things.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
And Write Fiction, you have a teleseminar or something today, right?
In the Nonfiction Writers University, we do. We do. I'm talking to Rusty Shelton today about a variety of things related to platform building, online promotion, that kind of thing. Okay.
Okay.
All right. ladies, thank you so much for being here and for awesome questions. Everybody who wasn't here will benefit from hearing the answers, and so I really appreciate that. I appreciate all of you being in the program. You are the heart and soul of what I do, really, because what I love to see is writers who are really making a difference in the world, and that's what all of you are doing or will be doing. So thank you for being part of the program. Thank you for being here. I will talk to you next week when we have another webinar. So make sure you register for the webinar when the link comes around. And we'll be doing the second webinar about platform, community building. And so I'll be going into great depth on this whole idea of your website and blog being your home station and using what I call my satellite system. So we'll go into that in great depth, and we'll also talk about how to use some of the different sites and all of that. Okay?
Okay.
So it will be good, and I think you'll learn a lot about promoting. And then after that, we go on to creating a marketable book idea and getting your book out there, and all these questions about traditional and self-publishing. We'll be going into that in great depth. So lots of good things coming up. I will talk to you in a week. Thank you all for being here. Be sure to use the Facebook page. And until I talk to you next time, go out there and achieve more inspired results, especially by authoring change. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.